Our gospel reading will be from the book of St. John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Now, you probably have ESV up there, or you don't have one up there, but I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The word of the Lord. I'm going to preach today on one verse, which is the Lord is my shepherd. And if I would preach the 23rd Psalm, I'd be here for many months. You probably don't want that, because we got a pretty good guy instead of me being up here. And so we're gonna talk about that. But first, let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you love us so much. You know, that we're told in your holy word that you knew us before we were in our mother's womb. We thank you for that love, that before, that during, and that after love you have for each and every one of us. Thank you for being our God, our protector, our strength, how you love us and how you watch over us, for being our shepherd. Lord, I pray that my words right now will glorify you, will encourage those here in attendance, Father God, and all things just show the love of Jesus Christ to each and every one of us. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Okay, so we all know Jesus as the shepherd. We just read about that. And typically, he's again referred to, as Tim had said, as the good shepherd, which is great. Now, the term shepherd's also been spoken in the Bible about 43 other times, usually referring to God, okay? And again, Jesus referred to himself as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the door of the sheep, again, realizing about a shepherd. So shepherds, some that we're knowledgeable about being biblical readers. Now, sheep, on the other hand, probably don't read about them too much, but we do. 500 times, sheep have been mentioned in the Bible. That's something. More than any other animal in the Bible, sheep's mentioned more often than not. So, what is this all about being a shepherd? All right, was it Spencer? Come on, bud. Come on up. No. Today, we really don't have an understanding of who a shepherd really is or what he did, okay? Now, a shepherd in biblical times had a dangerous job. He'd be out there day and night, probably for weeks, maybe even months on end, I don't know, for quite a long period of time, in the elements, and his job was to take care of and tend that flock that he was looking over, okay? And all he had to do that was his shepherd's crook, his staff, to protect himself and his flock. Now, you'd say, well, how dangerous can it be? Well, we're told that King David tells before he's going to fight Goliath, he says, hey, I tended my father's sheep, and I killed the lion and the bear. So we know that being a shepherd is fraught with hard times and dangers of other animals. So the shepherd, he willingly puts his life on the line for his sheep, for that flock. Now, at nighttime, what he would do, of course, during the day, the sheep are in the meadows, grazing, all that good stuff. So at night, he would get them off to an area, he'd make like a makeshift pen, okay? And with this pen, you'd have one doorway for in and out. And he would then call his sheep by name. Say, okay, Scott, come on in. Frank, come on in, you're in. All right. Bruce, let's go. Tammy, come on, let's go. Barbara, whoop, you're in. All right. Barbara, like, oh, a little hitch in her head. But they knew his voice. He would call them in and into the pen that they would go. They would settle in that pen then for, you know, for nighttime. They'd have that safety of the pen around them. And I'm sure the shepherd would even probably sing to them, you know, a little bit at night. I mean, come on, parents, we'd sing to our kids, right? Lullabies or to our grandkids, you know. We'd do that. Same thing with the sheep, they would be that. Now, sheep are all fluffy and white and nice, right? They're great, but they're skittish. Sheep just kind of go, woo, 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 woo. You know, like my dog, squirrel, bam, he's gone, right? That's how sheep are. They're skittish. But when they hear the shepherd's voice, it calms them down, all right? And now, so again, during the day, you'd have the sheep grazing. Now, sometimes, many times, there'd be multiple flocks in the grazing area, right? So we'd have, you know, Scott's flock, you know, an area. Jamie would have your flock in an area, and my flock would be in an area, right? Okay, all kind of commingling, and we're probably gabbing a little bit, okay? But it's time to get off to our nighttime thing, so I'd say, whoop, you know, whatever voice I would say, my sheep would follow me. Scott's sheep would follow him. Jamie, your sheep would follow you, and off the sheep would go to the different areas to follow their shepherd to be with them for that nighttime. So again, they get settled down. They're in the pen. What's the shepherd do right now? Go down the bowling alley? No. He goes in that one-way entry, and he lays down there. Why does he do that? No, it's not to get away from the sheep smell. But he does that because, see, any animal would have to get across him to get into those sheep. Any thief would have to get by him first to get to his sheep. So he would guard them, protect them with his life. So as we speak this message here, you know, this is a message to the flock of Jesus Christ. So I'm talking to believers right now, all right? You know, and Jesus, even in the Gospel of John, he's talking to his believers and to those that would become his flock, his sheep. The true shepherd, one who watches over the true believers, that is you and I. And we have that assurance, obviously, through our faith in Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross, through his resurrection, through our repenting, asking forgiveness of our sins, asking him into our life, into our hearts, be Lord of our life. And we have that hope of eternal life with him in heaven, right? If you're here today without that assurance, you can have that assurance today before you leave, all right? You're going to hear about that too later on. So the verse, Lord is my shepherd. Five things came to my mind as I was kind of contemplating that verse. The first one is surrender. Right, surrender. Initial surrender to the drawing of the Holy Spirit that brings you and I to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. Great promise right there, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit, who is the triune God, brings his sheep into him, okay? And that through our surrender of who we are, okay? When Tim surrendered to Jesus Christ, taken on, like I said, accepting the sacrifice on the cross that he shed his blood for me, making it very for us, but for me, for Tim here, okay, that I surrendered myself, my life, my days to him, for him to be the one whose voice I would listen to through all things. Then, as we have all done in our lives, we became part of the flock of Jesus Christ. Amen to that? That's great. Now, we're talking surrender here. Surrender is a military term, is it not? All right. So, you know, if you surrender something to me, D, guess what? It's mine, not yours anymore. I got it. All right. If a country surrenders themselves to their country, the country they surrender to has conquered them and gets to tell them anything and everything that they can do. Permission has to come from that conqueror. As we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, he is the one who conquered our sin. He conquered our sin once and for all. So we are to give up our will, I give up my will. Tough to do. I goof it up all the time. I like to get in front of the podium all the time. All right. But we're to set aside our plans, our ways, our wants, and look to him. My wife Diane and our anniversary next year is our 35th anniversary. And so we were talking about that. Well, in June, let's go to England or let's go do something. Okay, kind of a big, you know, make a big deal of it, right? You know, because it's one of those, you know, zeros or five things. Why do you women like that for? What's up with that? Anyways, I digress. Anyway, so we're talking about actually going to England, you know, during June. And so nothing had been planned officially, no tickets purchased or whatever, okay, but here's what we'll do. Well, I get a call from the Gideons, and they asked me to do a trip out to Uganda in June. Now, of course, when the Gideons called somebody on, they prayed about it. And my name just didn't, like, come up on a, you know, just draw a name here. My name came up to them in revelation of prayer through the Holy Spirit. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I wanted to go to England. Oh, cool, I can go to Uganda. Ooh, I got to talk to Diane. But we both set aside our plans. There's nothing wrong with those plans that we're going to make to go to England, right? Nothing wrong with that at all. We set aside those plans so I can go to Uganda to do what God's plan was for me. Her plan would be praying for me while I'm over there, okay? But as we continue our Christian life, we're always going to have to do ongoing surrendering to God, right? That's what goes on with us, okay? And when we do that, when we keep on surrendering ourselves to God, when we see and go through the plans that he has for us, what we're doing then by surrendering ourselves to him, he is filling up us with more of him. It deepens our spiritual walk. It gives us a deeper intimacy with him, okay? As we surrender more of our lives, making more room for Jesus, and filling up with the Holy Spirit, that is what goes on. You know, I know I, as a parent, as my kid listens to what I want him to do, I have what? I have pride for that child, right? It's like, well done, way to go. So does God with us too. So that's surrender. Second step, second part is dependence, all right? So after we surrender to God, surrender our lives over to God, I surrender my life to him, to Jesus Christ, okay? So now it's not all about what Tim can do because my efforts come to nothing, right? So I have to become dependent upon my shepherd for everything. And that's my trouble a lot of times. I try to depend on myself first. Let's go back to the shepherds in biblical times. All right, so you got this really rebellious sheep. Wants to keep on going off here and there into the bush there, the brambles over there. And you're like, man, the shepherd's like, there's coyotes over there. Ah, you can't go over there. There's people over there. They're going to steal you and eat you, right? So what does that shepherd do with that rebellious sheep? You know what he does? He takes that sheep, he breaks its leg. Out of love for that sheep. He does it out of love for that sheep. He then takes that sheep, he puts them up around his shoulders. That sheep now is totally dependent upon who? The shepherd. For his food, for his water, all right, where he's going to be going, because he's got no control over it. He's on the shepherd's shoulders, all right. Totally dependent upon that shepherd. And I even think, too, as that sheep is laying down, his head's right down here, you know, he's hearing the shepherd's heartbeat, right? Every time that shepherd moves like this, he's feeling that movement going this way, because, okay, we're going to be going this way. Oop, we're going to be going this way. My dog does that a lot to me. He likes to lay his head on my chest here. Here's my heartbeat, I'm sure, you know. And then if I just move or twitch, like, okay, where are we going? What are we going to do, you know? He's that in tune, trying to be that in tune to me as his master. As we need to be the same way with our master. What happens now after that sheep's legs has healed? He takes them off the shoulders. Sheep can now run around. What does that sheep do? What do you think he does? Stays right close to his shepherd because that's all he knows. That's who he knows. He knows that that shepherd is his sustenance for life and his protection. So too with you and I. Our dependence on our shepherd is to abide in him, to walk with him as he walks, that our lives are co-joined together. Remember, as believers, we receive the Holy Spirit at our time of belief, okay? at the time of salvation. And so that's the Holy Spirit of God abiding in you and I. Do you get that? Man, that freaks me out sometimes. That God is in me. Makes me feel real bad sometimes, the things I do and say. Thank goodness for forgiveness of sins, right? Amen. The third part, or the third step in this, if you will, is obedience, all right? So we surrendered. We realize our dependence upon God now. We realize that we're dependent upon our shepherd, Jesus Christ. We're dependent upon God, okay? We got that, right? You got that? Got that. Now, obedience. Hardest thing, well, they're all hard for me. Hard one for me, too, to be obedient to him, okay? That's just from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the garden, right? You know, he created them, man and woman. Don't eat from this tree. That's all, everything else is yours. You know, when I first became a Christian, I was so arrogant when I was first a Christian, you know. I thought, you know, if I were Adam, I would have never eaten of that tree. Well, Tim, if you were Adam, you wouldn't be here. Get it? You know, because, yeah, okay. Anyway, so you know, I thought, oh, but no, I would have probably been there like within 5 seconds eating of that tree, you know, of the fruit from that tree. It's a human simple set we have, because we got this thing that I sometimes really despise in myself, is that free will, that free choice. All right? You know? Because so many times I'll make that wrong choice in my life. Obedience for you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, it's a choice that you make every day. Choice that you make every single second, actually. All right? How we're going to react to somebody, how we're going to, you know, treat somebody, how we're going to love somebody, how we're not going to judge somebody, all right? You know, obedience is being in this word on a continual basis, reading it, gleaning it, bringing it into yourself. The word obey means to hear and to trust. You know, we hear the voice of God every day. You know that? When you read your Bible, you're hearing the voice of God, all right? So read that Bible, hear him, and trust that what the Bible tells us, that it is true. So just as the sheep learns to hear the shepherd's voice, to do what he would do, so is the same for us as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, may not always understand. I don't always understand everything the Bible's telling us to do or telling me to do, you know? I don't understand it all the time. I don't always agree. You know? What? I got to love him? Really? That creep? Yeah, I do. We do. We have to learn to hear and to trust what God's speaking for us to do. Obedience is our response to God's word. Obedience, it brought about salvation in us as we were obedient to the calling of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our soul to rely on Christ as our Savior, okay? So it brought about our salvation. It secures God's blessings for us. You, what you just spoke about this morning. It's exactly what it was. You're obedient to what God was telling you to do, the Holy Spirit telling you to do in your heart with your daughter, and you secured a blessing from it. It just takes a little longer with all of us, with many of us. But it'll secure God's blessing. My daughter, who for a while was really going off path, living with somebody and you know, just totally kind of doing her own thing, as we're all wont to do. All right, she comes to me and goes, God, Dad, do you think God's mad at me? And I said to her in a very loving way, wouldn't you be mad at you? What do you mean? Well, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Well, yeah. Is that part of what God would have you do in your life? No. Okay. He's not doing things to be mean to you, right? He's not doing things just to spite you. Maybe he's got to break your leg. My leg's been broken many a time in the 25 plus years I've been a follower of Jesus Christ. But we'll secure God's blessings, whatever they may be, It may not always be a blessing as we understand the blessing to be, but we realize someday that that was a blessing. Today, I'm glad my daughter's doing much better. She straightened out. She came, lived home. We have to get her back on track spiritually. It's all good, we think, and that's a blessing. There was about a year and a half of real strain between her and I, so I understand. Obedience is fruit of our faith. When you're obedient, doing the things that are obedient to God, you're displaying your fruit. Your fruit of salvation. All right? People will see of that fruit, or that light, if you will. Obedience is essential to worship. You know, if we're not in obedience, how can we truly worship? Otherwise, it's just words, it's songs, it's rote, you know? When we're truly obedient to what we're doing, that helps us in our worship. Because, you see, if I'm here as obedient son to my God, I can worship with a pure heart. But if I have disobedience in me, or sin, it's hard for me to worship here, right? So, obedience is essential to worship. Obedience is also gratitude for the grace of God received by us as believers. All right, another personal story of Tim. When I first became a Christian, I had a very hard time with my father. All right, I would have to say, I'm sorry to say this in a blunt way, but at that time I hated my father because of a lot of stuff that went on in my young life. But you know what it is? Wasn't good. All right? So I became saved at the age of 28 years old. And for about 9 months on, you know, as I'm going through that time, for about 9 months, I kept on hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit saying to me, I have forgiven you of everything, so you too must forgive. What are you talking about, Holy Spirit? Kind of would go on. See, when I would see my dad, I would totally clench up. I would feel the hate. I'd cross to the side of the road. I wasn't nice. I'd have no part to do with him. And as thoughts of dad would come into being, I'd hear that voice again saying, I have forgiven you of everything, so you too must forgive. So one day, about 9 months after I was saved, I went to my dad, and I first of all asked for his forgiveness because I wasn't the best son in the world either. And also I forgave him. He didn't understand that part of it at all because he wasn't a believer then. He became a believer, praise the Lord. All right? But after I had done that, there was a freedom that I experienced, okay, being obedient to what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me there. What was I doing? I was imitating Jesus, yes? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is being crucified, okay? Just as he obeyed his Father, he showed us how we're to obey the full will of God as well. And the same thing in our lives, too. We need to fulfill and obey what God's will would be for us. And I thank God that I can come to him when I fail with repentance, with asking forgiveness for my sins. But know that if your desire in your heart wants to do the will of God, to trust and obey God, even though we do fail in perfect obedience, but we've got the grace of our salvation as well through that. The fourth part of this is rest, okay? So rest is to cease from one's work. With release of anxiety, release of worry, release of insecurity, that's what rest means, biblically, okay? Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So Jesus told us that as we do that, with Christ in our heart, within our soul, within our lives, that we can truly become at rest, okay? We can't come to rest as self-effort. We can't do it on our own. We can't get there. We can do all these things and say, oh, it's going to give me rest. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do all this and may have this money. I can retire. I can be rest. That doesn't do it. The only rest we get is God's unmerited perfect rest that we find through Christ Jesus. It's not a physical rest either. It's a spiritual rest. Have you ever had your spirit, your soul, just like up in arms? Things not right, even as a Christian? I have. What's going on? Probably not being obedient somewhere in my life. All right? I become obedient. Whew, you get that rest again. Follow me there? We're all going to have issues in this world. We're going to have pain. We're going to have afflictions. We got busyness. This world's a tough place. It's a dark place. It's a place that's a fallen world. All right? This was not God's design again, but this is what we brought onto ourselves through Adam and Eve and all the things that we do as well too. But as Psalm 23 is, in spite of the valleys and the shadows of death, as we tread upon this earth, that we as believers, as a sheep in Christ's flock, we have no reason to fear. Even through the fearful things, we really have no reason to fear. On the spiritual side of things, we're to trust God in all things, not just some, but in all things. Even though this body will die, and this body is going to have aches and pains, and you guys all got them out there too. Anytime, you know, how about you guys? Do you guys do this? Oh, got a pain back here. Huh. Got to be cancer, Dick. I think it's cancer, you know? Right? We all go there, you know? And we all, and there are people here who have cancer. I don't mean to make light of it, all right? There are people here who've got illnesses that are very bad, all right? I've seen people die of terminal illnesses with a joy and a restful spirit that they have that humbles me, makes me pray, can I be as brave as them? But see, they're doing what? They're resting in Jesus Christ. They're resting because a shepherd has them. For we who have believed do enter that rest. For we who believe do enter that rest. As we go through these tough things that go on in our lives, whether it's kid stuff, whether it's health stuff, whether it's spouse stuff, whether it's work stuff, whether whatever it is, as long as we believe, as long as we believe that God's in control, we will enter that rest, His rest. The last part of this, Lord is my shepherd, to me, is joy. And what is joy? It's not happiness, all right? It's not pleasure. It's not, you know, having a yacht. It's not going to that trip to England later sometime, I think. We cannot create our own joy, humanly speaking. We cannot do that. But joy is a fruit of a right relationship with God. Joy is our being in the will of God. And our joy, my joy, is in direct proportion to a believer's walk in Christ. Follow me there? As you're walking with Christ, as you're in that right proportion with Him, you've got that joy. All right? If I'm in sin, if I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing, you know, if I've got my whole life in upheaval because of my own rebellion, do I have any joy at all? Probably not. Probably not. We're full of joy because of Him, because of who He is in our life. My sin will rob me of joy in the Lord. True joy enables the Lord's people to enjoy all that God has given us. Again, even in the shadow or sorrow of the difficulties of life. Okay, our joy of salvation, the promise of heaven that has us looking up to Him, knowing that this is a temporary place. You know, beloved, this is not our home. This is not our home. Heaven's our home as believers. All right, and so that we need just to look to that. This is all hard to do. I know that. I fail all the time as well, too. I can be so much in the temporal at times. But we're told, in John 50:11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You know, I long for the time when I do get to heaven, and I hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You know? I'm waiting for those times. And he goes on and says, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler of many things. And because he says, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's an awesome time for each and one of us as we stand up there before Him. So we follow our shepherd. When we do that, we surrender. We're dependent. We're obedient. We're in His rest. And then we're in His joy. And that's the full presence of Jesus and of God as our shepherd. Okay? Now, do you at times feel the anxiousness, the toughness, the difficulty, the pressures of life? Do y'all feel that way? Only me? Really? Don't we all get that? Don't we all get that? Do you sometimes feel like you are really maybe outside the shepherd's flock, even though you're part of the flock? Do you ever feel that way sometimes? We all can do that. I need a volunteer. Can I ask you to come up here? Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just met her today, by the way. Face the crowd. All right. Hold your hand out like this. How about that one? It's closer to me.
Okay.
This is a sheep. What was your first name again?
Macy.
Macy? That's right. Macy, this is you.
Okay. Woo!
Okay. As a member of God's flock, this is Jesus. Close your hand around that, okay? Jesus has you in all things and through all things, okay? The good and the bad. Right? He has you. Can I put my hands over your hands? Is it okay? All right. So Jesus said in I think it's John 10:30, I and my Father are one. God also has you, along with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So walk with me. So as we go through our life, as we go through the tough times over here, the kind of okay times over here, we got the good times here. Walk backwards. I don't want to show your back to the audience.
Okay.
You know? But as we do this, God and Jesus and the Spirit are with you always and all forever. Okay? Even through the valley of the shadow of death. That's yours. Okay? Please sit down. If you're here today, you're not sure that you're a sheep in Christ's flock, today can be your day. Enter into that flock. Believe in the cross. Believe in the resurrection. Believe that Jesus died and shed his blood for you personally, for remission of your sins. Ask forgiveness of your sins. Surrender yourself to him in your life from this point, this day forward. If you have questions about that, see Scott, see Dick, see Barbara Natrop. Come see me. We'll talk to you further about that. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, when I say that, the Lord is an action verb, all right? Is, always will be, is my shepherd. Repeat that after me. The Lord is my shepherd. Once more. The Lord is my shepherd. Because it's a triune God, you got to do it three times. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.